Today's scripture is John 8, 31 through 47. The truth will set you free. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word."
Well, a few of us might remember a movie in the 80s called The Outsiders. Dare I say, probably most of you don't remember that. You can Google it or YouTube it when you get home. In the movie, there's a character in the movie called Pony Boy. And somebody know what I'm talking about. Pony Boy quotes Robert Frost. It's one of my favorite movies in my teens. And this was my favorite point of the movie. He quotes Robert Frost's poem, "Nothing Gold Can Stay." And I remember it because I learned it by heart because I watched that movie so many times. It says, "Nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaves to flower. But only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf. So Eden sank to grief. So dawn turns down to day. Nothing gold can stay." Nothing gold can stay. I remember that poem, and I love that poem because it's in one of my favorite movies. Every time I hear it or hear a reference to it, I remember Pony Boy and Johnny and Dallas and Soda Pop. Oh, yeah, it's a good one. When I reflect upon that poem, though, I'm reminded that just how pessimistic the poem is. It reminds us that our lives are frequently shifting, that the nature of life in this world seems to always be in flux. Things change. We change. We change schools. We change jobs. We change houses. We change churches. And God forbid too frequently these days we change spouses and partners. And in that sense, it would seem that Robert Frost and Pony Boy had it right. It seems like nothing gold can stay. And he and Frost would be right, except that the Bible says something a little different. There are some constants in this life. There are some gold standards There are some things that remain. The Bible reminds us in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God remains, stands forever. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, we see that not only the word of God stays, but also God himself remains. I am the Lord your God, and I change not. There are some things that remain. The word of God remains. God himself remains. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ remains. For he is Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So there are some gold standards, beloved. There are some things that do remain. The word of God, God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text this morning reminds us that we find that the true disciples of Jesus Christ remain. They abide. They continue on. As we come to our text, this portion here in John chapter 8, if you've been following along with us, to give you just a little context, by now Jesus had gotten accustomed to these controversies. The controversies that arose around Jesus usually arose around him saying something that provoked the ire of the religious authorities that were gathered around him, the scribes and the Pharisees, as we have seen again and again. Jesus would say something that was provocative, and the scribes and the Pharisees would be enraged. But this time, beloved, as we come to chapter 8 and verse 31, this time our text shows us that the controversy was not with the religious authorities so much, but it was with Jesus's disciples. Those who had followed him, and as the Bible says in verse 30, right, in John 8, 30, those who believed in him. And so as Pat showed us last week, as after Jesus had clearly testified to being the light of the world, the Bible says in verse 30 that many believed him, and therefore believing him were prepared to follow him. But that's always a problem. You see, the problem was not getting people to believe what Jesus said. The problem, and Jesus knows the heart, was not just getting people to believe in Jesus, but getting people to believe Jesus. See, a lot of people believe in God, beloved. The hard part is believing God and believing him, follow him, and believing him, trust in him, and believing him, abiding in him. You got these people here. And it says that they believed him. Is that right? Fact of the matter is, beloved, Jesus was never after followers for followers' sake. He was not trying to simply inflate his numbers. He was not trying to just get people to like him. You know, he wasn't out there saying things just for clickbait. It was not for the sake of publicity. He didn't want to raise his numbers so that he could monetize his efforts. He knows that often large numbers are more style than substance. Because, beloved, men and women are often tempted to profess a faith in God or Jesus Christ at a moment of heightened excitement, at a moment of emotion, revival meeting or some crusade, or many more are given over to the influences of the crowd or the pressure that comes from their peers or even their parents. Still others are quick to confess a faith in the Lord Jesus at times of chaos or at times of crisis. Prison confessions. Foxhole conversions. Disasters or storms arise. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong, beloved. Some of these professions are true. Some of these professions are sincere in the midst of crises and storms and that comes from heightened moments of excitement in a crusade or a concert. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, came to faith in the midst of a thunderstorm, asking the Lord to save him. But we know from experience what Jesus here shows us time and time again, that many who are fast to profess don't last in their profession. What happens when the crowd dissipates or the chaos passes? Where then is your faith? What happens when the peers and the parents are no longer around? Where then is your faith? What happens when the excitement and the emotion of the moment wear off? Where then is your faith? What happens when the bombs stop dropping and the prison doors open? Where then is your faith? Jesus says, true disciples remain. True disciples abide. True disciples continue. Verse 31, the Bible says that Jesus, in speaking to those who believed in him, said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Like he had on so many other previous occasions, beloved, Jesus looked at the crowd that had gathered there to listen to him and voicing this desire to follow him. He looked at the crowd and he knew the hearts of each one there. He knew the truth and the intention of every heart. He knew that most of them were only there for the moment. He knew they believed, but they were not truly disciples. And like he had done, if you remember, in John chapter 6, Jesus challenged their belief. He looked at them and he says, if you are really my disciples, if you are truly sincere in your belief, you will remain in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, we read that and we hear that, and it sounds innocent enough. Doesn't sound like there's anything really provocative in there, nothing real controversial in those words. To our ears, that those words sound innocent enough, and they fall upon us, and we say, well, sure, of course. Why not? But Jesus knew his audience. Jesus knew the hearts and the minds of those to whom he was speaking. And with these words, he was getting and cutting to the hearts and the minds of his listeners, beloved. He was challenging their very sincerity of being his disciples. He was challenging their understanding of what it meant to be a disciple, a true disciple. And when they heard him, they heard that. They heard what you and I didn't hear. But hopefully, by the end of this sermon, you will. Let's see if we can hear with our ears what they heard. True disciples remain because they know the truth. They know the truth. This is interesting how Jesus distinguishes disciples. There are disciples, and there are those who are truly my disciples. There are followers, and then there are those who are truly my followers. Truly my, real, sincere, genuine disciples. And these are the ones that Jesus says, stick with it, remain, abide, continue in the words of Christ, and by doing so, know the truth. They remain disciples, beloved, because they don't remain immature children. What is the sign of immaturity? The sign of spiritual immaturity, or immaturity in general, is this thing of flitting from one thing to the next. Always changing. That's what the Bible says, right? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. You know how you no longer are a child in the faith? It says, then we will no longer be immature like children when we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. In other words, they are not caught up in the latest fads, in the newest ideas, in the latest popular teachings. Theirs, beloved, theirs is not the seed sown on rocky ground. As the Bible says, right in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Theirs is not the seed that is received with joy for a moment and endures for a while. They remain for a season, but when the seasons change, they change. But these, the true disciples, the remaining, the continuing, the abiding disciples, these are they who hear the truth and receive the truth of Christ, because it is not truth grounded in the opinions of men, it is grounded in the revelation of God. This is truth. You need to know if you are going to grow. This is truth. You need to know if you are going to grow. And what is that? Two things, beloved. Two things. We're going to be short. But I hope it's impactful. Two things. First of all, true disciples know who they are. I mean, beloved, who they really are. They know who they really are. And this is what Jesus was getting at. True disciples know who they are. Notice how they were offended by Jesus because Jesus apparently didn't recognize who they were. They were so caught up in ethnic pride and their own self-righteousness that they refused to see the truth about themselves. True disciples know who they are, really are. And Jesus there is exposing them to the fact you don't even know who you really are. How are you going to be my disciple? You don't even know the truth about yourself. But when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free," notice what the Bible says how they answered in verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Beloved, they were offended. They were offended because they considered themselves enlightened, and Jesus implied that they didn't know the truth. How dare you call us ignorant? We know our Bibles. We know Moses. We know the prophets. And yet what Jesus was saying is that they were ignorant of the truth of Christ, which Moses and the prophets taught. And they weren't willing to listen. They were offended because they considered themselves enlightened. They were offended because they considered themselves free. And Jesus implied that apart from him, they were enslaved. How dare you call us slaves? How dare you say we are in bondage? How dare you say, imply that we need to be set free? We are slaves to no one. We are servants of no one. We are dignified. We are not of the servant class. And again, Jesus is reminding them that they were indeed slaves. Slaves of sin and slaves of their own self-righteousness that ethnic pride can produce, and yet not willing to admit it. They were offended because Jesus implied that they were ignorant. They were offended because Jesus implied they were in bondage. They were offended because Jesus said that they were not Abraham's children. Jesus would tell them later on that they were actually children of the devil. And they're getting their ire up. How dare you question our ancestry? Our fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is our father. Moses is our prophet. David is our king. We know who we are. We are Israel, the chosen ones of God. And yet Jesus reminds them that they actually are children of the devil, sons and daughters of disobedience, and not willing to see themselves as God sees them. Listen, beloved, do you hear what Jesus said to them? They heard what Jesus said to them. They were offended by all that Jesus said to them because they heard what Jesus said to them. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? True disciples know themselves, who they really are. Listen, they were offended because, as we would say today, they considered themselves woke. They were woke. They knew who they are, who they were. They knew where they came from. They were conscious of their ancestry and their history. They were aware of their ethnic identity. They were tuned in to their culture. Listen, beloved, listen to me. You think that ethnic and cultural identity are important today? Beloved, it is nothing compared to what the Jews desired in Jesus' day. Long before there was Black Lives Matter, there was Jewish Lives Matter. And Jesus looked right into it. Why? Because, beloved, being Jewish was everything. It was everything. Proving you were Jewish and thus a child of Abraham meant everything. And as far as they were concerned, they were woke. And the more woke you were, the more saved you were. And Jesus comes along and says, being Jewish is good. Being in Christ means so much more. Being Jewish may mean something, but being in Christ means everything. Everything. Everything, beloved. There are few things in this life, as you see here with these who call themselves disciples following Jesus, there are few things in this life more enslaving than cultural identity. It keeps you from seeing and knowing the truth about who you really are. Now, don't listen to me. You don't have to listen to me this morning. You have to listen to me. Listen to our brother Paul. No one was as woke as Paul was. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, verse 4, he says, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. In other words, anybody think they woke? Nobody as woke as I am. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church, as to righteousness in the law, faultless. No one was as Jewish as I was. And then he says, but whatever was gained to me, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. No. More than that, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have lost all things and consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. This is what Jesus was saying to those there. Are you ready to really know who you are and count it all as rubbish that you might know the truth? True disciples understand that. They understand that nothing means nothing apart from Jesus. Nothing means nothing. You do understand that apart from Jesus, the best I can do is be American. The best I can do is be African American. The best I can do is to be Asian American or Hispanic American or Jewish American. And the best that I can hope for is the 4th of July or Juneteenth or Cinco de Mayo. True disciples understand, beloved. They understand and they know who they are, really are. And that regardless of their ethnicity, who they really are is sinners saved by grace. They are sinners saved by grace. They are never not sinners saved by grace. This is our identity. Now, granted, beloved, that is not our only identity, but it is the most important one. It is the one that testifies to the fact that we really, truly know who we are. It is the one that says we know the truth. It is the one that says that we abide in Christ. They thought they were woke. They thought they were children of Abraham. And Jesus said, yeah, you may be children of Abraham according to the flesh, but we don't live according to the flesh anymore. That's what the Bible says. Again, don't take my word for it. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, what? You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promises to Abraham belongs to you. In Christ alone, beloved, we are Abraham's seed. In Christ alone, we are children of God. In Christ alone, we know the truth about ourselves. And in Christ alone, we are saved. This is truth you need to know if you're going to grow. Did you hear what I said? You need to know who you are, truly are, to abide in Jesus. True disciples know who they are, truly are. And true disciples know who Jesus is, who he really is. Notice that what Jesus said to them after they said Abraham was their father. In John 8:39, Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But no, now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not the works of Abraham. In other words, if they really knew Abraham, then they would know Jesus. If they really followed Abraham, then they would do what Abraham did. And what did Abraham do? In Romans chapter 4, in verse 3, the Bible tells us what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. If they really believed and were following Abraham, they would believe God. And if they believed God, they would believe the one that God has sent. This is what Jesus is getting at. True disciples know who Jesus is. And rather than kill Jesus, they would believe in Jesus. But beloved, Jesus says they sought to kill him. Why? Because they were demonstrating that they were not of Abraham. But they did have a father. Demonstrating they had true affections. They had allegiances, but it was not with God. It was not with Abraham, but actually it was with the devil himself. Notice what Jesus says in verse 41. He says, "You are doing the works your father did." And then in verse 44, so that they don't get it confused, he tells them who their father is. "And you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He is a liar and the father of lies." They claim, beloved, to know the truth. And the truth was standing right in front of them. And rather than believe the truth, they were given over to the lies of the enemy. Enslaved. Captive to his will. To know the truth, beloved, is to be set free. To know the truth is to be set free. And the truth of which Jesus was speaking is not a mathematical equation. It is not some scientific theory. It is not even a creed to confess. The truth of which Jesus was speaking is a person. The truth is Jesus himself, who would say in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the truth." True disciples know that it is Jesus. They know who they are. They know themselves. They know who they really are. And they know, therefore, that Jesus is the only one who is able to set them free. This is the truth that sets us free. Jesus. Jesus. Listen, beloved, Jesus didn't come into the world to enslave anyone. They're already enslaved. He came to set the captives free. Why? Because apart from Jesus, we are all slaves already. Slaves to our sin, slaves to the law, slaves to tradition, slaves to guilt, slaves to fear, slaves to anxiety, slaves to death. Jesus is the truth. He comes and he sets us free. Free from what? free from the penalty and punishment for our sin, free from the curse and burden of the law, free from religious and traditional ritualism, free from self-righteousness, legalism, and guilt, free from culturalism, pride, and prejudice, free from perfectionism, free from the judgment of others, free from fear, free from anxiety, free from guilt, free from the fear of man, the fear of death, and the fear of judgment. Christ comes to set us free. And now that you have been set free, the Bible says, Jesus says in verse 36 in chapter 8, so now if the Son sets you free, you are really free. Free, 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 free. Everybody gets freedom. Free to do the works of God. Free to live by faith in Jesus. Free to trust Jesus and not myself. Free to love my enemies. Free to forgive those who have made trespasses against me. Free to live without condemnation. Free to be happy and contented in Jesus. Free to abide in Christ and Christ abide in me. Free to remain and continue in Jesus. Free. Pony Boy, quoted Robert Frost and said, nothing gold can stay. But by the end of the movie, Johnny was a little more optimistic. And before Johnny died, he told Pony Boy, stay gold. Stay gold. If you are truly a disciple this morning, beloved, you can stay gold. You can stay gold because in Christ you can stay free. In Christ you can stay in the truth. In Christ you can stay saved. Stay gold. Beloved, only in Christ can you stay. Let's pray.